Usually when you pay a toll on the highway, there is an expectation of basic transparency. Like you see the physical sign, it says $3, you hand over the cash and you just drive through.
Right, it's highly visible.
Exactly. It's a straight line transaction. You know exactly what you are paying for right there.
Yeah, the cost of using that specific road is printed right in front of you on, a giant reflective board.
But then Well, then you step into the back office of merchant payment processing, and suddenly all those signs are completely blank.
Oh, yeah, completely invisible to the operator.
Right. You're a business owner, and the toll operator is silently deciding which road your transactions take. And what is worse, they are almost always putting you on the luxury turnpike, paying the highest possible toll, and just keeping the extra change for themselves. And you never even notice.
And the crazy part is, they're doing it legally. I mean, they are doing it thousands of times a day, just buried under layers of technical jargon and intentionally confusing monthly statements.
Welcome to my pay advisor. As an analyst co-host here, I spend my days digging through those exact merchant statements trying to find where the money actually goes.
And it goes to a lot of hidden places.
It really does. So today I am sitting down with our senior payments advisor lead, and our mission for this deep dive is highly specific and quite honestly very urgent.
Very urgent for 2026, yeah.
We are mapping out the 2026 debit cost landscape to deliver a concrete operator playbook for you. We want to help you reclaim your own margin from your payment processors.
That is exactly the goal. Because, well, if you were a U.S. merchant processing anywhere between $25,000 and $5,000 in monthly volume, you really need to pay close attention to this.
Yeah, we need to anchor this right away to the actual 2026 numbers because the scale of this is shocking.
It's massive.
If you are running Cart Present transactions with a, say, $15 to $50 average ticket, a simple software routing choice swings your debit cost by 0.15 to 0.35% of your total debit volume.
Right, and that might sound like fractions of a penny to someone outside the industry, but for the average operator listening right now, a 0.35% swing means you are likely leaking thousands of dollars a year to your processor simply because of default software settings.
Just default setting.
Exactly. It is pure margin just walking out your back door.
So, before we can actually fix that leak, we have to understand the legal mandate that makes this savings possible in the first place.
Right, the law behind it.
Plus, we need to look at the current 2026 fee schedules that are driving all this math. This entire situation, it goes back to Federal Reserve Regulation 2, which originally stems from the Durbin Amendment.
Regulation 2 is the foundational rule here. I
Sure.
mean, it is the only reason we can even have this conversation today. The rule legally requires every single U.S. debit card to carry at least two unaffiliated networks.
To force competition, basically.
Exactly. The government's purpose was to force competition. So on one side, you have your front-of-card networks. We all know these.
Visa debit and MasterCard debit.
Right. Historically, they handled signature-authenticated transactions.
And then on the other side.
You have the back-of-card networks. These are names like Star, Pulse, and NYCE. Historically, these were the networks handling PN authenticated debit.
And the most crucial part of Regulation 2 for operators is that the merchant gets to choose which of those networks processes the transaction,
Yes.
not the bank and not the customer, the merchant. But the massive savings we are talking about only exist because of a very specific loophole. The Federal Reserve split debit cards into two distinct categories,
Right.
regulated cards and exempt cards.
That is the dividing line you have to memorize. Like, regulated cards are the ones issued by massive banks. We are talking about institutions with $10 billion or more in total assets.
The giants.
Yeah, the giants. And the Federal Reserve aggressively caps what those giant banks can charge you for a debit swipe.
And what does that hard ceiling actually look like right now?
Currently, that cap sits at 21 cents plus 0.05% of the transaction plus a tiny 1 cent fraud prevention adjustment.
Okay.
And the important thing to understand is that every network charges roughly that exact same amount for a regulated card.
Because the ceiling is set by federal law.
Exactly. There is no real price competition there.
But then we get to the real prize. The place where all this hidden margin lives is the exempt cards.
Yes, the exempt cards. They come from smaller banks and local credit unions. And because they are smaller institutions, they are not bound by that Federal Reserve cap at all.
So they can charge whatever they want.
Well, they route at the network's published interchange rate. And those rates are significantly higher. Just to give you the 2026 benchmark, if we look at the April 18th, 2026, Visa interchange reimbursement fees schedule, the standard Visa CPS retail debit rate runs 0.80% plus 15 cents.
Wow, so that is a massive jump. I mean, we go from a locked 22 cents on regulated cards to a base rate that scales up very quickly with the ticket size.
It is a huge difference. And data collections from the Federal Reserve show U.S. debit card volume is in the trillions of dollars annually. Yeah. And the average exempt interchange runs roughly three times higher than the regulated cap on a per transaction basis. Mm. But, you know, here is the silver lining for you as the operator.
Okay.
Because these exempt rates are so incredibly high, those back of card networks like Star and Pulse compete fiercely for your business by undercutting Visa and MasterCard.
Ah, so they realize they can offer a slightly lower rate than Visa, still make great money, and win the transaction if the merchant routes it to them.
Exactly. Yeah. And tracking from the Nielsen report actually shows that back of card networks have grown their market share consistently every single year since 2018.
Really?
Yeah. And they're doing it primarily by competing heavily on these uncapped exempt transactions.
Okay, let us make this concept really concrete. Think of your payment processor as a railroad switch operator. Your customer's transaction is a freight train rolling down the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Regulation 2 says there have to be at least two different tracks that train can take to its final destination.
Right. You have the expensive track and the cheaper track.
But if you, the merchant, do not give specific written orders to that switch operator, they just default to sending all your freight down the most expensive track.
Yeah.
They send it down the front network track. Then they charge you the premium price and pocket the difference in the toll.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. I mean, the spread between the expensive front network and the cheaper back network just becomes pure processor profit unless you force them to flip the switch and route it differently.
Right. So since the law allows you to flip that switch, we need to look under the hood at the technical levers. We have to examine the physical mechanism right there at your checkout counter that actually routes the transaction.
Yeah, because a debit transaction touches at least five different parties between the physical swipe and the money settling in your bank account.
Right.
And the sequence of events is critical here because the routing decision happens incredibly fast. I mean, it happens before the issuing bank even sees the authorization request. When your customer taps or dips their card, your terminal reads the bank identification number, or BIN.
And that is the first 6 to 8 digits on the front of the physical card, right?
Yes, exactly. Your payment processor takes that BINI and queries an internal BININ file on their servers. Think of it like a massive digital phone book.
Okay.
This database tells the processor which networks that specific card carries, and crucially, whether the card is regulated or exempt from the Fed cap.
And they refresh these BIN files weekly, don't they?
They do. They refresh them weekly. So based on your merchant routing table, the processor picks a network, sends the request down that path, and the transaction settles at that specific network's published rate.
So here is where the customer experience aspect gets really interesting to me. Because for a long time, the barrier to using those cheaper back-of-card networks was friction at the counter.
Oh, yeah. Huge friction.
The customer had to physically type in their PIN in for Star or Pulse to work. And nobody wants to slow down a busy checkout line. It ruins the flow. But that rule changed recently, didn't it?
It changed dramatically. And a lot of operators missed this update entirely. Back in July 2022, the Federal Reserve issued a clarification.
What did they say?
They confirmed that back-of-card networks have the right to authorize transactions without requiring a PIN. The industry calls this PIN-less routing.
Which means a merchant can route an exempt debit card down the cheaper back network track while the customer simply taps their card and walks away, just like they always do.
Exactly. You get the lower rate on the back end, and the customer checkout experience does not change one bit. No extra friction at all.
Wait, hold on. Is it actually that automatic? Because I look at a lot of merchant hardware configurations in my role. And older terminal firmware definitely does not play nice with these new rules.
Right.
So how can a merchant know if their specific point-of-sale hardware or their gateway is artificially forcing a PIN entry requirement? Because if the terminal demands a PIN, it might be silently blocking that cheaper PIN-less route entirely.
That is a brilliant operational point. And honestly, it is a huge problem. You cannot just assume it is working. You have to ask your processor directly to audit your terminal capability.
You have to get it checked.
Yeah, because most modern U.S. card present terminals support back network PIN-less authorization right out of the box today. But if you are running legacy hardware or an outdated payment gateway software, the system might still treat peon entry as a rigid gatekeeper.
So the terminal sees the back network, says I need a peon, and when it does not get one from the tap, it just kicks the transaction back over to Visa.
Precisely. If the peon is not entered, the terminal software panics and defaults back to Visa or MasterCard, and you lose all the savings instantly.
Yeah.
You must confirm in writing with your processor that your specific firmware actually allows peonless routing.
Wow. So what does this all mean for your bottom line? The hardware and the default settings frequently fail the merchant, which leads us directly into the billing traps. Because processors know these rules better than anyone, and they use very specific billing patterns to capture these routing savings for themselves instead of passing them to you.
They really do.
We combed through all our sources and found 5 distinct patterns where operators consistently lose margin. Let us break them down so they are easy to spot.
Okay, the first trap is the most common one we see. Default routing lock to the front network. When your processor sets up your account, their bin file ships with a default route, and it is almost always set to Visa debit or MasterCard debit. So unless you explicitly request least cost routing in writing, the processor just happily routes every single transaction over the most expensive front network.
And just to quantify that, you know, for a merchant doing $200,000 in monthly volume, just accepting that out-of-the-box default setting costs them thousands of dollars a year in lost margin.
It really does. Track number 2 is even more devious. Tiered pricing models. This is where processors bundle your transactions into buckets they call qualified and non-qualified rates.
Yes, the ultimate black box.
Totally. This structure completely hides the network choice from you. As the operator, you just see a flat blended rate on your statement.
Right.
Meanwhile, the processor silently routes your exempt transactions to the cheaper back network, pays the lower wholesale cost, and pockets the entire spread without telling you.
So if you fix the default settings, they might just hide it in tiered pricing.
Yep.
And if you fix the pricing, we hit trap number 3. This goes back to what we just discussed about firmware. Processors treating PIN entry as a rigid gatekeeper.
Right.
Even with the 2022 Federal Reserve rule allowing peonless routing, some processors intentionally configure their gateway systems to require a PIN for the back network anyway.
They create an artificial roadblock. We see this trap 20 to 40% of a merchant's debit volume on the expensive front network for no valid reason other than poor or intentional terminal configuration.
That is wild. Trap number 4 is fascinating to me because it proves you really have to know your own operational data. It is the small ticket penalty.
Oh, this is a massive pitfall for specific industry verticals. If you pull the 2026 Visa interchange reimbursement fees, look at their CPS small ticket debit rate for exempt cards.
Okay, what is it?
It is 1.55% plus 4 cents. Back of card networks usually charge a lower percentage, but a higher fixed cent amount per transaction.
So it is a math crossing point. It is not just about who is always cheapest.
Right. If you own a coffee shop, you get murdered on this if you are not careful. On a $4 latte, the front networks actually win sometimes because their fixed 4 cent fee is lower than the back network's fixed fee.
Okay.
But once that ticket crosses $15, say someone buys lunch, the math suddenly flips. Over $15, the back network exempt debit typically wins by a healthy 15 to 35 basis points.
So coffee shops, parking garages, and laundromats get hit hardest here because their average ticket dances right on that break-even line. You really need dynamic routing based on the ticket size, not just a blanket rule.
Exactly. You need intelligence in the routing. And the 5th trap is arguably the most frustrating one to find. Hidden routing fee add-ons.
Oh, I hate these.
This is where processors charge you an extra 0.05 to 0.100% just to perform the least cost routing that is already mandated by federal law.
They literally take a cut of the savings they are legally obligated to help you find. It is a fabricated service fee they almost never disclose up front unless you press them on it.
It really is.
Which brings up a major red flag that operators need to look for on their monthly statements today. I see this all the time. If a merchant is looking at their messy PDF bill and they see a line item for Visa NAFAT-E, which stands for Network Access Fee, but they look closer and see 0 line items for Star, 0 for Pulse, 0 for NYCE, what does that actually mean in plain English?
It means you are actively paying for a routing capability you are not utilizing. You're paying the access fees to have the major networks available, but your volume is completely locked to them.
Wow.
Yeah, you have no transactions actually hitting the alternative networks. That confirms, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are not using least cost routing and your processor is likely keeping the margin.
Okay, now that the 5 traps are clear, let us run the exact math for a typical mid-size operator. We want to prove why spending 2 hours fixing this is worth your time this week. Let us build a financial model on the whiteboard for a four-location casual dining restaurant.
Okay, let us run the numbers. Say this restaurant group processes $420,000 in total monthly volume.
All right.
They have a $42 average ticket size. Their debit mix is 40% of their total volume, which gives them $168,000 in debit volume specifically. That breaks down to exactly 4,500 debit transactions per month.
So step one for this restaurant is separating out the regulated cards from the exempt cards, right?
Right. Let us assume a standard market split. Out of those 4,500 transactions, roughly 55% are regulated cards from big banks.
So that is 2,475 regulated transactions.
Remember, these are capped by the Fed. For those regulated cards, the Fed put a hard ceiling in place. For a $42 ticket, the math comes out to roughly 23 cents a swipe. That cost is set in stone. The total cost for this regulated bucket is about $572 for the month. You cannot negotiate that down.
The real variable, the place we care about, is the remaining 45%, the 2025 exempt transactions.
Under the processor's default lazy setting, these all go straight to Visa's CPS retail debit. We know the published 2026 rate is 0.80% plus 15 cents.
Okay. Doing the math, on a $42 ticket, that is roughly 48.6 cents per transaction.
Exactly. So the total wholesale cost for the exempt bucket under the default Visa route is $984.
So their total default debit cost, ignoring any processor markups for a second, is $572 for the regulated side plus $984 for the exempt side. Now, what actually happens when this operator emails their processor today and flips the switch to least cost routing?
Well, those 2025 exempt transactions immediately shift to a back of card network like Pulse or NYCE.
Mm.
Based on typical processor reported ranges, these back networks settle 0.15 to 0.35% below the Visa equivalent on tickets over $15.
Right.
Let us use a conservative middle ground. Let us assume the back network settles at 0.55% plus 12 cents.
Okay, doing the math on that. 0.55% of the volume plus 12 cents per transaction.
That brings the exempt cost down from $984 to roughly $711.
That is a net savings of $273 a month just by sending an email.
And it scales up very quickly. I mean, $273 a month is nearly $10,000 over a standard 36-month processor contract cycle.
Wow, that is a new commercial refrigerator.
Easily. And if you are a larger merchant doing $1 million a month in total volume with the same ticket size and debit mix, you would save over $23,000 on that same 36-month contract.
I have to jump in here to highlight a master caveat for everyone listening. Do not ignore this part. This math we just did relies entirely on having an interchange plus pricing structure.
Yes, 100%.
Because if you are stuck on one of those tiered pricing plans we mentioned earlier, you will never see a dime of this money. On a tiered plan, your processor flips the switch, routes the transaction to the cheaper network, and absorbs every single penny of that $10,000 to $23,000 spread.
I just keep it all.
You have to be on interchange plus pricing to actually capture the routing spread for yourself.
That is a vital point to make. The savings must flow through to your actual statement. Only interchange plus pricing gives you the transparency to verify they're passing the wholesale cost savings down to you.
So we have the theory, we have the math. What is the immediate operator playbook? What should the merchant listening to this do this week to stop the bleeding?
We have a very specific three-step sequence. Step one, pull your last three monthly statements.
Okay.
Look at the transaction counts broken down per network. If you only see Visa debit and MasterCard debit listed and zero volume on Star, Pulse, or NYCE, you're losing money to default routing right now.
And step two.
Step two, email your processor and request your BIN or routing table in writing. You have a legal right under the Durbin Amendment to see exactly how your transactions are being routed by their system.
And what if the processor stalls or gives you the runaround or just refuses to send it?
That is a glaring signal that the routing spread is funding their profit margin, and they do not want you to see it. If they stall, you move to step three.
Which is?
Explicitly demand least cost routing and writing. Cite Federal Reserve Regulation Tech in the email. Tell them you want your PIN-less back network routing enabled immediately, and you want written confirmation that your terminal firmware is not blocking it.
I will add a really quick math check you can do at your desk in 5 minutes. Take your total debit fees for the month and divide them by your total debit volume. If you are a card-present merchant with an average ticket over $20 and that resulting number exceeds 0.85%, you are leaking margin.
That is a fantastic benchmark to use. If your effective rate is hovering around 1% or higher on mid-sized tickets, your processor is definitely capturing the exempt card spread for themselves.
This all leads to a final thought for you to consider as you start auditing your systems this week. The payment landscape is not static. It changes constantly.
It really does.
Those bid-in files we talked about, the digital phone books that map out the card networks, they change every single week. Banks merge, credit card portfolios move around, and acquirers silently rotate default routes to maximize their own margins.
Which means treating this as a set-it-and-forget-it project is dangerous. You cannot just fix it once and walk away.
Exactly. Consider this. If you set up least-cost routing today and fight for every single basis point, how much of that margin will quietly leak back to your processor over the next 2 years if you fail to run a quarterly audit?
Too much of it.
If a routing table updates automatically on a Tuesday night and your processor slips a default route back into the software, you could be slowly bleeding 5 to 15 basis points again without triggering any major alarms on your dashboard.
And you would never even know.
It really leaves you questioning what other invisible, highly negotiable fees your payment gateway is just hiding in plain sight. Usually when you pay a toll, you assume the price on the sign is the price you pay. But in payment processing, if you're not checking those blank signs every quarter, you are definitely paying for the luxury lane.